It was shocking news that we began with this morning that Sister Roberta was killed in Haiti. And as each of us contemplate this life and just what it means to us, we know that this life is very fragile. This morning, I want us to talk about building up. And as we get ready to do that, I want to just mention a couple of things. One, Haiti has a special place for me. Back in 1990, I was privileged to go there with a dear friend, Richard Allen. And we spent a week down there trying to buy some things, get things set up for a preacher training school to begin. And so we were heavily involved with the work in Haiti for quite a number of years there with the Snellville Church in Snellville, Georgia. And it changes you when you see the type of life that they live. It really does. And so I can relate somewhat to Sister Roberta wanting to go back and for the loss that she feels with that. Also, when we think about what it means to go, it takes a great deal of commitment. We have Demar Elam with us this morning. He's gone a lot of places and seen a lot of people. He's touched a lot of lives with the gospel of Christ, and I'm so encouraged by that. So I want us to talk about encouragement this morning. You know, Haiti wouldn't have opened up like it did, perhaps, had it not been for some of the disasters that happened there. People were aware of their devastation because of the earthquake, but even before that, people were aware these people need Jesus Christ. And as you look around the world, everybody needs Jesus Christ, especially right here in our neighborhood as well. So let's spend a few moments here and let's ask, first of all, why are we here? And let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, because part of the reason why we're here is obviously to worship. We've come to worship. We've come to be with each other. And we also come to fellowship, not necessarily for a meal. That happens from time to time. But we've come to fellowship with each other, to build each other up, and to have this opportunity to be able to encourage each other. As we were singing that song, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, there was a verse in there about how we share our mutual woes and we share a sympathizing tear and we're here with each other. Just last week I was talking about 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, how we share comfort with each other because we know the comfort that comes from Christ and from God. And because of the comfort that they give us, we're able to give that out to others. And although that was devastating news about Sister Roberta this morning, I know that her family must be comforted by the thought that so many people know about her work, and so many people today are thinking about and praying about that family, because we are family, not just biological, but we are family spiritually. And we are also here not only to be able to worship God and also to see each other in fellowship, but also to encourage, to build up. And so we're going to look at this verse now and a series of verses in Hebrews chapter 10. Let's begin in verse 23. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." Now, in this section here, as we consider what we can do to build each other up in Christ, I want us to notice a couple of things. First of all, he said, hold fast to the confession. Hold fast to the faith that you already have. The things that you've been taught, the things that you've accepted, the things that you've put your confidence in, those things that came from God's Word, you hold fast to those. Those do not change. The world around us changes. The devil, he changes his ways of trying to get into our lives and into our minds and our hearts. But the words of God do not change. You hold fast to those things. Hold fast to the commitments that you have made. And also do so without wavering. There are opportunities that our minds that are already closed on the issue of God because we know that there is a God. There are opportunities that Satan has to open up our mind to other possibilities. You do so without wavering. You hold fast to that confession. But notice the word in verse 24, to consider. Let us consider one another. To be able to consider in this sense is, let's look at this. Let's go towards that. Let's dig deeper. Let's see that opportunity. The word consider is used throughout the New Testament in various ways, and it's always or sometimes used in that sense of, look at this as an example. You consider this, or look at this over here. Consider what needs to be done. And in this setting, let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. Now, I mentioned here, I think, on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago, that in this passage, sometimes we only hear about the not forsaking of ourselves. You know, there are actually four different things here. So stir up love, good works, not forsaking ourselves in the assembly, and also to exhort or encourage one another. So out of the four things that are listed, only one has this negative ring of it. Don't do this. Don't mess with the worship services. But really, why are we here? Well, we're here not only to worship, but also to fellowship and to encourage each other. And the writer here says, you consider each other. Why? To stir up or to cause or to promote or to encourage these things to happen. What? Stir up love and also good works and also to exhort one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. An ever-increasing amount of encouragement that you get from time to time. I love Sundays. I love the opportunities to come in and to see God's people, God's family around. I love the opportunity to walk in and amongst everyone and to shake your hand and to call you by name and to hear what's going on in your life. I love Sundays. Sundays are a great sense of encouragement for me because I'm with God's family. And that ought to be the feeling that all of us have when we're here. So I've got a series of just a few passages for us to go to. The first now, in building up others, comes from Romans. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to back up a little bit into chapter 14 as well. Notice what he says here as we consider how we can build each other up in Christ. Paul here says, we then who are strong ought to bear the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. So let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Now that word for edification there, we'll see over and over. It's a building up. It's a building up. Let's go on now for verses 3 through 6. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience, and aren't we glad that God is patient, and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my Bible, I have a few few words underlined there in that section. First, in verse 2, I've got leading to edification because I want to follow what God says. And when God instructs his writers to tell us to build each other up, I want to follow that instruction. So he says here, don't be selfish. Don't just look to your own interests. Don't worry about your own things, but look out for your neighbor. Look out for others and do those things that lead to building up, to edification. And then in verses 5 and 6, I've got the unity type words underlined there as well. To be like-minded toward one another, to be of one mind and one mouth as we glorify God the Father. I want us to be edified, to build each other up. Now, if we back up just a little bit in chapter 14, look at verses 12 and 13. And we were here just a few weeks ago when I talked about being a stumbling block or a stepping stone. Here Paul says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Sometimes we forget about that everything that we do is coming onto our record, that one day we're going to have to stand and give an account of every word that we say and of every thought that we have. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this. And I love this contrast here. Don't be judging of each other, but Paul says not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Well, rather than just stay out of the way, let's encourage. That's what he says in chapter 15. Let's not be selfish. Let's look at these things and encourage one another. The next passage now comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. We're building up others here. And Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things build up or edify. So let no one seek his own, but let each one have the other's well-being. Let's look at the other's well-being. I may have mentioned here already that sometimes our boys, as we were growing up, had this tremendous ability to always find the front of the line for the potluck. I don't know how that happened. But growing up, if it was, we're guest speaking somewhere or just, you know, a home congregation, we'd have a potluck. And as we're getting ready to say the prayer, and they might not know where the line forms. And so they might be over here to our right, and the line's going to be way over there. At the end of the prayer, I look up there at the front of the line. I don't know how they could do that. But they were always doing that, and I think they still do that. Well, there's a point in time, and we love our boys. I'm just using that as an example. But there's a point in time that you get to the point where you let others go first, where you're looking out for their interests instead of our own. And I've seen that here at Florence Boulevard, as people are very kind and allowing people to go through, especially when you're there to help someone else. Let's go on to the next passage, just a couple of pages over the right in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26. We were here a few weeks ago as well when we were talking about how we can work together and do these things. In verse 26, Paul says, How is it then, brethren, when you come together, that each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, or has a tongue, has a revelation, or has an interpretation? Let all things be done, and here's our word again, for building up. Let all things be done for edification. Do you get the idea that Paul is saying here that we ought to be together so we could be stronger and built up? I think that's exactly what he's saying. Part of our time here, of course, is in worship of God, and part of our time here is in building one another up. We ought to look for those things and hope for those things in our lives. Now, the last passage here in this section is Ephesians chapter 4, and let's go to verse 29. We could go farther, and we could start earlier, but let's just focus on this one verse. Paul says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." You see, when I look at these passages and I look at the times that we come together, I look at the times that we interact with each other, what I see Paul saying, what I see the inspired writers of the New Testament saying is, you Christians need to work together and build each other up, to build each other up. Maybe you saw one of the ball teams here towards the end of the season. I think it was the Washington Nationals, and they had some skirmishes, and anyway, they weren't doing so well, and they had a fight right there, you know, at the dugout, and these teammates were fighting each other. Well, you can't be successful if you're infighting, if you're doing these things. I'd much rather see a team that's going and encouraging each other and helping each other out as they go up. You know, one of the things about this is, you know, what our expectations would be. Now, I used to play Little League. I wasn't very good. My dad, and today would have been his 75th birthday, and I wrote a little something about that in the bulletin. My dad was our coach for 2 years. My dad was a very accomplished baseball player. He played some in college as well as high school, very good first baseman, and he was a good coach too, but he had a really good heart. And so he'd take all of us players that really weren't the best players, And he taught us the game. We didn't win very much at all. As a matter of fact, we were 1-23 over 2 years. And the one game that we won was a makeup game on a Wednesday night, and dad wasn't even the coach. You know, he was at church and somebody else was our coach. And so technically my dad didn't win a game as a coach during those 2 years. But we encouraged one another during that time. Now, I got to tell you, as an 8 or 9 year old playing left field, all I cared about was kicking the grass and making a little spot, you know, and the snow cone after the game. That was really what I was looking forward to, because win or lose, everybody got a snow cone. But I look back on that time, and I look back on what my dad did to encourage these players, to each of us, for us to come out and learn the skills that we needed to play the game, to have fun. And we were all encouraging each other as we get up. Now, as I would get up to bat, and I never hit a home run during a game. I hit one during practice, and I was thrilled to death about that. But 8, 9 year olds and stuff, you know, you're not thinking totally in good terms. But every time I would get up, you know, my mind would have a lot to do with what would happen. Am I going to strike out, or am I going to make contact and make a hit? So I got up to the plate, and all I could think about, I hope I don't strike out, I hope I don't strike out, I hope I don't strike out, I hope I don't strike out. Where's my mind? It's on striking out. And guess what's going to happen? More than likely, I'm going to strike out. But if I got up there thinking I'm going to make a contact, I'm going to make a hit, I might even get a score a run or something, then now my outlook is different. What does Paul say about when we come together? We've come together to worship God, but what should our heart be thinking about? I want to reach out and encourage others. I want to reach out and give somebody a pat on the back and a push and a shove and a helpful hint of how they can be better. And I love the days when I look around and others are doing that for me. Let's turn back now to page or two in Ephesians as we think about building up the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. And again, now these passages, if you miss them on the screen, they'll be available later on the webpage. And you can download this and see this as well. Look at what Paul says here. "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built," there's the word that's on our theme today, "having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now, I look at those phrases there, to be built in the building and fitted together, growing and being built together. What do all those words say? Well, it says to me that this is a process. And he also says to me, if I take a closer look at Ephesians 4 and also at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that both have to do with the unity of the body and how God has placed us, each one in the body, just as he pleased, I begin to understand what this is all about. You see, each one of us, we come together. Each one of us, we come together and we support one another. And so as the joints and all of the parts of the body come together, we are there for support. We're there for growth. We're there for encouragement. This is a part of what our daily routine ought to be as we come together to worship. Well, let's look over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, and this we're going to read all 10 of these verses here. As we're talking again here about building up in the church. 1 Peter chapter 2, therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy and envy, and all evil speaking. And as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. And you also, as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, this concept of building up, it's there. It's there in the Bible. It's there in the New Testament for us. We're being built up individually. We're being built up as the body of Christ to be this church for God. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, he has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now they have obtained mercy. Now, in that section, I've got a few words underlined there towards the end. Look at that. A chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. You know, you are special. You are. As a child of God, you are special. God has certain things that he expects of us as his children, and some of those would be interacting with others. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, towards the end of a section there where Paul is trying to encourage the church and telling them certain things, he ends with this. He says, now therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are also doing. Now to comfort each other in that sense is the same root word for encourage. And the word for edify is to build up one another. That word there for edify is the same word that was used in Matthew chapter 16 and 18. Where Jesus says, I will build my church. You see the connections here? Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. Peter, on your confession, I'm going to build my church. And now here's Paul saying to the church in Thessalonica, you need to build each other. It's the same word that was being used. You need to build each other as well as you're looking to these issues. The next passage now comes from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. When we think about building one another up in the church, we need to realize that sometimes we're weak. Sometimes we let the competition in and we start to think about other ways instead of God's ways. The writer of Hebrews here says, beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort or encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I can't begin to tell you how important it is for us to have regular contact with other Christians, for us to have the ability to interact with one another and to see each other, to kind of gauge how we are spiritually, to be that fruit inspector for one another, if you will, but to encourage, to build up, and to strengthen each other as often as we can. My wife and I have been married for over 32 years now. I love her today. If not more, at least as much as I did 32 years ago, I'd say more. I'd say our love has increased. I won't speak for her on how her love is towards me, but I tell you what, I never get tired of saying I love you. I never get tired of hearing it from her. Sometimes we're both a little deaf or try to be, and so we say it often because we say, what'd you say? I love you. Oh, okay, that's good. How would you feel if you never heard I love you from your spouse? Do you think you'd grow closer to your spouse or more distant? Do you think that you'd be more open to other opportunities out in the world if you didn't have that love that was shared on a regular basis? Listen again to what these words are saying. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you a heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. Now, I don't know a single person that really voluntarily wants to walk away from God, but there are lots of people that I know and that I read of who have had difficulties dealing with spiritual issues, and they've lost their trust in God, and they have walked out and they've believed the devil. One of the leading atheists of today was once a Pentecostal preacher. He has he's debated Kyle Butt and several others. He's rallied against the church and religious people trying to get laws changed that take away tax privileges for the church. And here's a man who used to stand in a Pentecostal pulpit and proclaim the Bible, and now he doesn't believe any of it. Exhort, he says, encourage one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through your unbelief. You see, it's possible. It's really possible. I was talking with Demar this morning, and we've got a common friend, Calvin Renault. Calvin was our elder, and Carl and I were at the Stone Mountain Church many, many years ago. Calvin and Ann, just wonderful, super people. And we knew that Calvin had a relationship with Demar forever and a day, you know. And so it's always wonderful when we get to see people. But there were times, and I remember, you know, we had three elders back then. That was long before I started preaching. And I remember those men, and they struggled with some issues in that church. But they were there to help. And there were some even that were very close to those men who left the faith. They were drawn away by the world, and it broke their heart. How can you avoid that? How can you overcome that? How can you prevent that? Well, sometimes it's going to happen. But how we encourage and build up each other has a great deal to do with staying faithful. My last passage for today is going to be over in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 4 isn't so much an encouragement passage as it is just an exhortation for us as Christians. I want us to be examples. I want us to be examples. Good examples, not bad examples. Notice what Paul says to Timothy here in verse 12. He says, let no one despise your youth, and just ignore that phrase for a moment here and think about ourselves in this passage as Paul might be talking to us. Let no one despise who you are and what you stand for and the things that you believe, because we know that you're going to be solid on the Bible. But he says, be an example to the believers. And I want us to think in terms of doing that for each and every one of us. We represent the best news, the great news, the good news. We put on Christ. We wear his name. We represent him as ambassadors in this world. We also represent this local congregation. Or if you're visiting with us from other places, you represent your congregation. So be an example, he says. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. How can I be an example to others about building up? Well, you be building up. You be encouraging. You be thinking about the positives instead of the negatives. How can I do this instead of do that? How can I build up instead of tear down? How can I turn someone who is already turning away from God or having an attitude that's not godly into someone who is turning back to God and having a healthy and supportive attitude? Paul continues and says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Now, this next section is just for him. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on hands of the eldership. But then he comes back to us. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be made evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in so doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So here's my encouragement for the day for all of us. When we think about this, be an example. I want us to think about how we can build up one another. So if you've not already done so today, I want you to make sure that before you leave here today, that you find someone that's in this audience and that you build them up in some way. You let them know that you know something that's going on in their life. And you let them know that you're going to be praying for them. If you saw someone up here serving the Lord's table, offering a prayer, leading singing, or teaching a Bible class later, you go up to them and you tell them what that meant to them. To you. Let them know that you appreciate the work that they put into it. You lift them up. You encourage them. You let them know that you appreciate what they're doing. It'll go a far piece with them, and I bet it's going to benefit you as well. You be an example in your speech. Let your speech be such, as Paul said in Ephesians 4, that no corrupt word comes out of your mouth. But the only things that you speak will be those things to edify one another, to build us up and to encourage us. And there are always times that we need to talk about correction. I'm not saying you never say anything about correction, but there are ways of saying corrective things that still encourage and build up. In the bulletin, I wrote about me being baptized on my dad's birthday. He was a great encourager. Sorry for being emotional. He's been gone almost 16 years. Well, almost 17 years. I miss him. I miss the encouragement that comes from him, a preacher, to me, his son. But I have so many others that encourage me. I don't know what I could do if I didn't have God's people to encourage me. If a preacher doesn't know where he would be without God's people encouraging him, what about the flock? Where would you be today if other people had not encouraged you in the faith? I dare say you would not have found it on your own. Someone loved you enough to share the gospel message, to nurture you until you were ready to accept the gospel. Someone was there to celebrate with you when you put on Christ and when you had another birthday. And someone was there to help feed you and nurture you through the early days of your spiritual journey. Don't you think it's time we encourage everyone so that they can enjoy the blessings that you and I enjoy? I want to build up, don't you? If you have need of coming, the invitation song has been set. Come now while we stand and while we sing.
There's a fountain breathing for you, man.